So last week I experimented with just not having anything prepared and just seeing what would happen. And I'm going to continue with that this evening, so I really don't know what's going to happen. Never purchase.
always buy, isn't it? Always buy. I'm gonna go buy a packet of Jaffa Cakes. I mean, yeah, we get it, okay? It's alright. That just keeps going on like this. Oh yeah, and what's the thing you always order in restaurants? Without fail, any time it's on the menu, the tuna sandwich, isn't it? And not just a tuna sandwich, tuna with mayonnaise, isn't it? And yeah, I think we can work that one out. Oh god. The tuna is the pussy, and mayonnaise is the spunk. I mean, you want to eat your cock and have your pussy too, don't you? Oh, you guys. Always going to, you know, unisex hairdressers, you know, in broad daylight. You know, getting your kind of stylish, you know, medium price, you know, medium length kind of haircut, you know. Come on, guys. Seriously. The pronoun they, this excessive use of the pronoun they, it's hedonistic use of they, always they, is always a lie. When he or she, we would sound more natural, wouldn't it? You know, you're like listening to Moby, you know? A man who is gay bashed, but isn't actually gay. It's a bit obvious. You like the movie Failure to Launch, which, oh, correct me if I'm wrong, it's a love story between a man and a woman. You only sometimes like to watch Oranges Are Not the Only Fruit, which is a love story between two women. And you only occasionally stick in My Beautiful Laundrette, which is a shagging story between two men. Very well acted, I think. The better of two gay films. Now, what is that sentence you always use? What is that extremely long, repetitive, but grammatically correct sentence? I think it goes something like, bye 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 bye, and is the story of bidding farewell to a bisexual young man who was beside a floating water thing, as it goes. So, and you know, you're always obsessed with committing these, you know, these crimes involving number two, and you know, you make all your moral decisions with, you know, a two-headed scarred silver dollar. It's ridiculous. I mean, you know, no. Bisexuals, no. Okay, we've had enough. Okay, just go back to where you came from, Northern Ireland.
Wow.
Yeah, I had to be said.
That was great. You
filled everybody.
Perfect, that was great. So here's a pretty round of applause for me to have to see.
Good morning, Duncan Donnelly, Nish. Poem about uploading your mind into a computer. So that your mind will live forever, you know? After your body has passed away, like. He says, Anna, I would leave my hands here. This jazz waltz, these rabbits, the silken reverse whisper of this wine. If we could step together into flows of merging intellects, if tomorrow we could join that lava lamp of consciousness, become pure minds. She says, he is sleeping on the butterfly path, exhausted, exerted, it drowses as evening arrives. He says, say we can. Say we'll give it all up to live it all again, each lush memory forever. Say we'll step out of nature into vast machines of imaging so crisp, so granular, it captures each near perfect meal, our first night's bliss, each sun-blushed recollection. she says, beyond a veranda, rabbit sample sevens diminished, worry butterflies sniff the jazzy vibrating ear. He says, just say we can't escape these ailing cells, these shells of age and process, of meat and gases, and let the love between us be as melody, as floating tendrils of counterpoint, complex strands orbiting forever in that permanent digital heaven. She says, compte, compas, already it is dusk or almost, I brush your tannin-stained lips in entitlement. He says, let us leave the children here in physicality, to join with us or not, when their time comes, in servers free from all the reptile hive brains rage brings forth, strip mines, smart dads, torture chambers. Tomorrow we could step into the glides and flows. Say we can. Anna, let's leave all this here. She says, dust and butterflies, the carapace in the cusp of evening, its hedges cast an intricate cocktail of shadow and light. A Dutch couple saunter past the garden, toward the village in perplexed belatedness, as if their rain gear had missed the best part of summer somehow. There are still enough customers to keep the takeaway open, its mane of fat statically galloping in the fire till closing time comes. Still the English lady's rounded vowels stopping at the pottery shop. Still the sex-edged teenage banter jostling on the boat cove platform. Sleek forgetfulness, bashful slab, gangly affectation, but all plunge and replunge from the pier edge. Daring head first, eight barnacle feet, with augmented indifference each time. Still the sky's unnatural blue, a blue that's forced and indigo, that's glossy and declining, the blue of August. And still each evening anglers scramble to the lowest toes of the cliffside, sip cans in the heat's slapless insipidity, or just watch the ocean's mild serrations sliding toward the shore, while beyond the headland the mackerel are packed in a crushed and trotting cube, in acre after seeding acre waiting. Come on.
So there's a number of slots still available. Any takers? No? Not quite ready. Okay. Then here's an elevator green is Erica. So the best one we can say Erica.
I haven't read a poem in public in years now, so this is a big night. This is called Original Sin. I think pomegranates tasted better when we were 16. We ate them in the park, plucking the seeds from the flesh one by one. We had no idea what we were doing. The debris filled the space between us, and red-violet fruit blood stained everything in reach. But I had never experienced such a thing before, and that sharp, sour sweetness was the best thing I'd ever tasted. Later on, we would fight, too, in that same park. But all the same, looking back through the haze of memory, it might as well have been the Garden of Eden. I suppose that makes youth the serpent. Or perhaps it was you. Or me. Or maybe the pomegranates themselves. I still look forward to pomegranate season, but the ones I find now look small and shriveled. I can cut clean through them without that rush of juice that I remember, and they never seem to taste like much of anything at all.
Okay, Erica, come back soon. And here's an Ella Hogan is that called, I guess to show you here, Mr. Reese, you know where it's going, you're welcome to meet about it. Okay, so then.
I usually write in English, but this poem I wrote in Irish, and I'm a bit nervous about writing in Irish because I always feel like I don't really have any business writing in Irish. But the story behind it is that I went to Dublin to see the Bach bodies. Has anybody seen them?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm completely obsessed with them. They're amazing. Go and see them if you haven't. They're just these bodies that were preserved because they were found in the bog, and they look like leather. They're incredible. They're really, really amazing. But I was very excited about seeing them. And then I was reading the signs next to them, and there was one of them I didn't understand the archaeological term, and I don't really know very much about archaeology. And then it was also written in Irish. And from the Irish, I could figure out what the English meant, which was, I was already kind of emotional. I nearly cried from the excitement of just realizing that actually, you know, Irish wasn't just a kind of completely second language to me. It was something that could be useful for something. So that's what the poem is about. So it's called Shelton and Shakata, which is a while in the past. Egach tri, the museum and chancel, erfoti, is there flokey? Is there irsum of yogdar? Copper, of his laher, of his dahana ulla in a cracket. Spreeth there a mulla, unprovenanced. Heppen berla or of his kailet and shrea. Acher and teavella, me fifth co burla se, of his hiris. Higgis gwell irsum of yog than changa gom mis loidrin on berla. Mi fisco vore se.
Any last takers? Are we just going to...
My friend, it's more like a
3-second
statement.
So a clap, not far.
It is said that failed actors make great English teachers. Well, what do failed English teachers make? What does a failed singer, musician, artist, writer, poet, student, friend, paralegal, gambler, lover, carer make? Why don't you tell me what it is?
Filling the gap at the end, the show off, okay? Okay, this is a poem for my dentist, which I've said before, called Painless. And it came about when my latest dentist was charging off my teeth to his assistant from an x-ray. And so I found it quite poetic and asked if he wouldn't mind if I recorded him doing it, so he stopped and started from the beginning. So, Painless. I met my new dentist with a loose crown. He holds up the x-rayed future of my diet, an orthopantograph of secrets to chart the teeth that shaped my every word. Upper right one bridge retained. Memory sinks into the trembling nuclei of my own electricity, a shaman's drug, a ritual for visions and childhood seconds, was ever pain the root of wisdom. Upper right two pontic of a bridge. He smiles at the son of white. Well, you've certainly been round the block. If only you knew, Doc, what some horses have to go through for extensive occlusal wear. Upper right three retainer of a bridge. At first appointments, I open wide, expecting shock, await for something like Jesus Christ Almighty. I muse on how they don't even think, manage to avoid the right words. Upper right four MOD composite. His deja vu posture conjures all of my very own dentists, flashing by now like needles. I can't remember exactly how many, yet only these strangers have ever seen my thoughts this closely. Somehow know me, where most have not. Upper right five missing. I've been to so many dentists that any nerves not removed by a pulpectomy have receded up into the safety of my nostrils, perhaps even my eyes and brain. Upper right, 6 crown. I remember beaming up at a dentist in the Curragh when I was 8, thinking, wow, women are dentists too. An upper brace for a crooked incisor, just great. No school though, here's to you. Upper right, 7 core and crown. The perfume of prosthetics, amalgam of that pink molding powder and the faint but distinctive superiority of dentist breath. Upper left, 1 distal angle. Switch off my nose, please. This time chair reminds me I've had so many root canals that I don't need an aesthetic. Upper left, 2 distal angle. I've always loved my teeth. There's something in my sleep would slowly grind the mind with the adventures of sweets. How many nights Dad would ease a dollop of sacred whiskey deep into an aching corner to float me cheerlessly away. Upper left, 3 missing. I remember a big city dentist whose posture leant over me at an angle slightly proportionate to my health cover. Upper left, 4 DO. Astutely aware of the minute hand movements, of the variations in pressure, bracing for the jolt of steel slamming into a nerve. Upper left, 5 MOD and mobility. I exhume more buried treasure, a jackhammer vibrating brain cells. Perhaps if I defeated pain, then I wouldn't have to feel it again. Lower left, 1 to 4 present, wishing for a masochism button, waiting for that drill to burst right through my cheek and beyond. When pain becomes a friend, something must be wrong. Lower left, 5 MOD and amalgam. There's good news, though, for one who never used to speak much, as telepathic powers unfold, increase exponentially. Lower left, 6 missing. The frustration of not being free to answer interesting conversation, unable to nod primal sounds. Lower left, 7 MO. The country dentist, who for a pocket change arranged a root canal and abscess bonus. Rough dentists, most were gentle enough. Lower right, 1 to 3 present. A distracted dentist who, while talking of gold, broke off the side of a wisdom, leaving me to swallow the blame. It was going anyway. Never mind, Doc, there's much more to worry about out there. Lower right, 4 missing. I've had the best of entertainment from dentists. A tiny dentist lady who once assumed an exotic yoga contortion to extract a stubborn molar, knees and legs all over the place. Lower right, 5 MO mesial buccal composite. An up and close real live heroine she was, piercing my fantasies with the most clinical ice blue a woman could ever offer. Now that's education. Lower right, 6 missing. I would have made a great dentist. One thing I always found odd, though, was the long, drawn closeness of eyes. Details only a lover should know. Lower right, 7 missing. They are all lost lovers, each an image of fascination, finely tattooed onto a chronology of painless recollections. They're better than any psychologist. I've learned psychology from dentists. Lower right, 8 MO amalgam. As he finishes, I tiptoe along the peaks and crevices, valleys of gum only Odysseus would dare. All these and more have witnessed my submolecular hero, who celebrates in slippery leaps from filling to crown, his triumphant emergence, victorious trophy of mouthwash. They have traced my life as casually as an old palm reader. I suddenly long to thank each one with a bright embrace, painless as an x-ray. I rise from the chair, gather all that care, and inhale the light of day.
Jet, provide them a weather 3 stick of art and a video dentist. That's a very good